become ready by being. And this is that we get to know him, and then that he is, well, what we started off with, if you need comfort, you receive the godly comfort, you get to know the Holy Spirit, you have part of the Holy Spirit. Part with him. Part, then you have a part of God, because he is depositing it in you. And from there, you can be carrying his, well, the glory, name carriers. You can be like him. That is what he says. I want you to be like me. This is not trying to be like me, but receiving from him so that you can be like him. And that makes it possible for everyone. I once gave this example, and there is this weightlifter. You know the weightlifters? They have this, what is it, the weights and it, the power weights?
The big bar
with these, yeah. With these weights on both ends, and then their phosphor or whatever on their hands, and it can't slip, of course. And then, they try and they concentrate, and then they need to push it. Just take it, push. Shout oftentimes. So now this is your life. So some of us, they say, my life, it's heavy. I can't. So if you are a Christian and your life is too heavy, what do you do? Pray, of course. So here we go. Father! So you pray for what? For strength, of course, you pray for strength. Give me strength. No. So if you don't succeed, a good Christian, what does he do if he doesn't succeed the first time? He prays again, of course. So you pray again. Now it doesn't succeed. The third time, three is important in the Bible. Three. So the third time you pray, and then you just try again as much as you can. Here you go. It's extra painful. It's in your back now. You say, Father, why? I pray to you. He says, I heard you. Oh, fine. Why didn't you answer? Because you prayed in a wrong way. He says, it's your life. He says, I know. And it's heavy. He says, yes, but your life is not to be lifted. Your life is to be to let go of. So when you are, whether you are strong or weak, all of you can let go. We have to die. We have to let go of our life. We have to, and you know, this is amazing. So instead of us trying to carry and to push and to do, he says, you're not meant to do it. I will do it for you. You let go. But now we recognize that letting go is sometimes as difficult as pulling. And he says, look at your hands when you're praying. Father, help me. Look at this. Look at your hands. And we need to open up. Jesus in Gethsemane, he said, Father, can this, I think he did it like this, can this cup go past me? He didn't say, and by the way, this cup you offered me, can it please pass? I mean, he was not British. Definitely not. So he was shouting. And he says, Father, can it pass? And then in the same sentence, there was a comma, and then he says, but not my will, but your will. And he opened his hands. He was able. He was able. It's not wrong to shout or to say it with your hands as fists clinging. But the thing is, we need to learn to open them up. So this is where we start. This is where it ends. This is where we start. This is where it ends. And you just take one of your difficulties where you're praying. And when you're praying, look at your hands. Are they closed or are they open? So it's that can be helpful. So again, it is very important, extreme important, how we read a parable. And we need the Holy Spirit in reading the Bible in the right way. Because if we read it and we misinterpret, and we, because of it, God gets a different character, you're in trouble. Because you don't know God then. We need to get to know him. And this is by revelation. And just know that when you're reading, you need to be aware that you have certain glasses that you read through. And what I mean is, your glasses, they represent your upbringing. They represent your parents. They represent the church situation. They represent your teacher. And because of all this, you have a certain idea about leadership, about God, about fatherhood. You have a certain idea. Why? Because you experienced it. Now, becoming a Christian, it starts here, that you hear sometimes it is different. But let me tell you that this is stronger than this. So you know all the right answers. You can give me all the right answers. But when the situation is in your life, this is what counts. What experience did you have? And we need God to be so real that we have experiences with him. Personal experiences in our life. Otherwise, if we don't have it, we only serve a religion. That's it. And Jesus didn't come to bring a Christian religion. He came to open up the way to the Father so we could be family. He said, look, and I think I've been here four times and I talked four times about the temple. If you know when Christ died, the veil was torn. And this is interesting because the veil was there and God spoke in his word, put in his word, told Moses that the veil should be there. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible that the veil should be there. So the moment the veil was torn, the priests were panicked because it was no longer as it was in the word. So they have sewn the veil because in 30-something after Christ, the temple was destroyed, fully functioning. So the veil was there again. Now, it's Now it gets tricky. Because it means that God, he is not changing his mind, but he says there is now a new period, a new season. And in this new season, it's different from before. So is it possible that God can do new things in our days? You understand? So if it is possible that he is doing new things, it's possible that we hold on old things and we need revelation that it's old and we need to let go. But because of this, religion cannot, it's in the religion terms, it's not safe because you don't, how do you know? How are you sure? It's in the Bible. The Bible is my security. The Bible is my foundation. And of course it is. But God is above. So now it comes. And this is tricky because how can I say that the Bible is not true? I'm not saying the Bible is not true. At the same time, I can see in the Bible that God says this is how the temple should be. And when Jesus died, that Jesus says temple time is over. A new day has come. God didn't plan to stay forever in a small place behind the veil. That was temporary. What he wanted is to have real fellowship and intimacy with you and me. Now he says, you will be my temple. So the Bible is still, but it now we see, first it was stone, but then it comes to us. So the truth is still the same, but still things change. From a temple from stone, it's now a temple from living stone. You see, so yes, the truth is still there, but it looks different. A temple from stone looks different than this bunch of people. But it is in the plan of God. So we need to be above what we have seen. So we need revelation so we can look through the eyes of God, how he has meant it to be. And for that, we need to be willing to let go of the old where necessary. And, you know, this is the time where we live in now. Because we are pulled out of the old structure, the old way of being church. We're pulled out. We don't like it anymore. Many people don't like it anymore, the old way of doing church. But the new way of doing church, yeah, what is the new way? Well, we don't know. So we are stuck in between. We're getting out and can't get in, so we're in between. And God says, yes, exactly. That's the purpose. Why? Because we can't lean on the old. We can't not yet lean on the new. So we need and learn to put our trust in him. Not in the church, but on him. And he says, this is the perfect time. Here we can learn. And it feels often uncomfortable. But this is the time that we... It needs to be uncomfortable. So you need to know that there is more. and where to get it. And then suddenly you say, oh, yeah, I have to get it from you personally. And then we are transformed. And the beauty is, us being transformed, the new church starts to become alive. So it's not the church and we step in. No, of course not. We are the church. So the new, it needs to take place in us. So when we become new, wow, look, now the structure is there. We are. And we became new. And this needs to dawn. This is something you need to grasp. This has to do with what Franklin said. The new thing, the two combined, the holiness and the love, and it needs to come together in the church. But we need to know that the love, we can't do it. The holiness, we can't do it. We need the grace. And this needs to become real personally in our lives. Okay. Let me see. Yeah. It is God inviting the good and the bad. It's his nature. Look, in Matthew 5:45, from the Amplified, so that you may show yourselves to be the children of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on those who are evil and on those who are good, and makes the rain fall on the righteous, those are morally upright, and the unrighteous, the unrepentant. He says, I give it to both. That's my nature. I'm not giving you something because you're good. This is who I am. And I want you to know who I am. The righteous and the unrighteous, the good and the bad. I want all of you to know who I am, and I am good. So his being is not depending on us. He is good. He is loving. He is gracious. He is. He is. He is. And he says, I want you to know whether you're good or bad. You know, when he chose Saul, when he was persecuting the Christians, not because he was good, but because he said, there is potential in you. You know, Genesis, the green has not come up. You know what the word says, why the green had not come up yet? Because? No rain. There was no rain. So then, the rain came, or the dew, or the rain. And so the green came up. So did it rain seeds? Do you think, yes or no? No. So where did the green come from? From the earth. So there was no green. It was bare. Wilderness. No, wilderness is not wrong. Bare, no green. But the potential in the ground was that the green would come up. So the dew came, the rain comes, and then the whole landscape changes and becomes beautiful. So we, our lives, can be without fruit, can be bare. So we say, Father, we need... He says, hello, the potential is in you. It's in you. What do we need? The rain. We need the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, it can come up. It can grow. It can become visible. So you are a carrier. You are a carrier of that what God wants to show through you. You are already, the potential is already in you. He says, I created you in my image. Well, if that is not enough. He created you in his image. So you are meant to carry the character of God. You are meant to do the things God wants to do or does. You are meant to be the carrier. This is how he created you. And now Jesus comes to make it possible. He is the way so we can get there. Now, righteousness is important for God. And it says in in Matthew 5, for I say to you, Matthew 5:20, that unless your righteousness is more than that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter into the kingdom of God. So first he says, I will give you. Now he says, make sure your righteousness is more than that from the scribes and the Pharisees. He means the same thing. He says, your righteousness, yes, the righteousness you get. The righteousness you get from me, that surpasses the righteousness of another man, scribes or Pharisees, the ones that are known for righteousness. They should be. But it's not the righteousness you should be. No, it's the righteousness we get from Christ, the full portion. Okay, and it says in 1 John 2, it says, you are my dear children, I write these things to you so that you won't sin. But if anyone does sin, we continually have a forgiving Redeemer who is face to face with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the righteous one. And we, well, he talks about us in Romans 3:10, as it is written and forever remains written. As it is written and forever remains written, there is none righteous. None that meets God's standard, not even one. So don't think you can enter in your own clothes. Don't think that you can become righteous enough, not even one. That excludes all of us. Or includes. Now, I have done actually, it's like the foreword, but I think we will continue tonight. I think that that will be good. Well, let me just end up with this. It's important to know how God looks to sin. Because when you're unrighteous, it involves sin. Do we agree? Okay. Because if he says, I am your righteousness, you can receive it from me. What about the sin? How does God look to sin? But even what is more important, how does he look to you when you sin? What is your idea about it, about the Father? What is his heart the moment you sin? I asked this question in Pakistan.
Pakistan, we were in Islamabad and in a certain region where they allowed the Christians to live and have some churches. So we were in one of the churches that was just in a room upstairs. And it's like not even half of this room, and 120 were there. It's a beautiful number. And so we were talking about the prodigal son, of course. I always talk about the prodigal son. And so I said, what do you think? Was he afraid for his father the moment he was on his way back home? 120 said, yes, yes, yes. He was afraid. I said, whoop. But maybe four answered, no, 120. Yes, he was afraid. Then I asked them, are you afraid of God when you have sinned? And all of them said, yes. Then I thought, this is because it's an Islamic country. So they come and have still an idea of Allah. Every Muslim is afraid of God. Every Muslim. They're taught to be afraid. So you can become a Christian but still have part of the picture of God, take it along with you and put it on Father God. But then I had to think about Europe. And I thought about church. How the pastors were preaching. You better be careful, because if, then. And I thought, we've heard the same thing. They preached fear. We have to be careful, otherwise God would, it would come upon you. We have the idea from the Middle Ages. It's like the painters, they painted God in the air with the hair, long hair, and the stick in his hand, or in his left hand, and then his finger just pointing at those creatures, those humans who lived on earth in sin, and the wrath of God was about to come, and then suddenly Jesus appeared in the middle, and he says, no, Father! I died for them. And this is such a lie. He died. But it looks like that he has to turn the wrath that comes from the heart of God, where it was God who had such a loving heart to send his own son. Because of what went wrong on earth. So we need to get this right. We need to know what God is thinking. So when you sin, here, I'm not sure if I taught you this last year, but even from 2 weeks ago, you can't remember, so I can tell you. I first thought that being born again... Did I talk about being born again? Can you remember? No. Being born again is the goal. That was it for me. Why? Because the being born again, it brought you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The way to heaven. You, because you're born again, you can go to heaven. You can be with God. Well, that's the goal. If that is the goal, that is what you spread. That is the evangelism. You can talk to other people. You can go, instead of going to hell, you can go to heaven. So you need to be born again. That's the goal. But it's not. It's not the goal. It's the means to get to your goal. Because God is spirit. And because we get born again from the spirit, it's possible for us to reach our goal. That's the Father. Being united with the Father. That's the goal. Because being born again is still we being born again, but we need to get into this is happening. The being born again is automatically. You come to Jesus, you put yourself into that position, he receives you, he forgives you, he gives you new life. The moment you be born again, you don't try to become born again. Nobody tries. You give it over and it's a miracle. And it happens. But the relationship with the Father is not something that automatically happens. It goes through your life and it's a process. Jesus says, it's the way. And figure out, it's I am the way. So we go together. I'll show you to get to the Father. And there it happens. We get united. Now that we are born from the Spirit, the exchange, the real exchange, can take place when we are in intimacy with the Father, when he shows us the Comforter, when we get things from him in our life, so that bit by bit by bit, things are exchanged. The things that we experienced in our old life is getting exchanged with new experiences. And this is from the godly character. This is the love of God. This is the comfort of God. This is his forgiveness. This is his grace. Grace is not a theological word. The grace Franklin is talking about is not a theological word. It's an experience. And we will talk about that also tonight. But it's... So when being born again is not the goal but the means, it's the same with sin. I took it that sin was the problem. So you have to conquer sin. Because if sin is out of the way, you're righteous or whatever. The holiness is because the unholiness is because of sin. So when sin is taken out, you're holy. And that's what we need to be. We need to become holy. So the sin is the problem, is what I thought. But it's not true. Sin is not the problem. Sin is the means to get us out of the intimacy with the Father. So, well, this was for me so important. Because if sin was the problem, God would look to sin. And whenever he saw sin, he says, I don't like it. Look at it. Again, it is not possible for him to be holy, for her. Again, the sin needs to be out of it. No, sin comes in and he says, look at what sin is doing. Sin is pulling them out of the intimacy. I need to restore. So the heart of the Father is not punishment because sin is there. The heart of the Father is compassion because sin should not be there. And he is the one who can help us to take it away so that relationship and intimacy becomes to the possibilities, becomes to the reality for us. So his focus is intimacy. This is the heart of the Father. Otherwise, we misinterpret the heart of the Father and we see the God with the finger. You should try harder. You should do this. You should. The God with the finger doesn't exist. It's the God with loving arms that exists. And he says, you have a problem. I know, that's why I sent Jesus. But I'm the one that can fix it for you. The loving arms of the Father. Come on. The moment that the prodigal son received an experience of the love, that was in the embrace. And he held him in that embrace, not shortly, not politely. Welcome back home. Yeah. Some welcome back home. Yeah. No. He grabbed him and he held him and he kissed him. He kissed him. And then the moment now he realized
in the embrace, the way the Father did it, his heart, the love of the heart of the Father just came into his heart. He experienced the love. The Father didn't say, son, I want you to know that I love you. And just know that. Be assured, I love you. No, he needed the experience, because he had the experience of the lack of love, of being away from the Father. And now he said, I'm not worthy to be your son. And now the Father, he doesn't make himself worthy. No, the Father, through the embrace, shows that he is Father. And automatically, it means, when you want to be my Father, I am your son. Thank you. The experience. So if you look to sin, instead of running from God or hiding, we tell him we need you more than ever. And if you can't tell him, then be in such a position that he can tell you. And that we learn to receive it. And this receiving means we go from the position being away from God into the position of intimacy with him. We can prove to him that we trust him, also when things go wrong. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I think that's good for now. Maybe we have one song just that we can think a little. Do you have one, or can I give you a CD?
If you like.
I have one. Yeah. This is for tonight. Yeah. It's number 2. And I'll take this one out. It's from Ruth Fazal. From a CD where she sings Hebrew, and it's the song Hineni. And Hineni says, I will wait for you. To hear all that you will say and to see all that you will do. Well, that's what we talked about. Here I am. So when we listen to the song, you can, in your heart, if you like, it's the being, and from the being, the doing comes. Under the shade of your tent, there is fullness of joy. In your presence, there is pleasures at your right hand forever. Here I am, I will wait for you. And then it changes, and it sings, akache, akache lecha, I will wait, but nekache, nekache lecha, that is, we will wait. As a church, it's important. It's not just one person, not us, me or you, but us together. We will wait for you to hear all that you will say, to see all that you will do. Here we are, we will wait. And then it ends with, I will wait, and here you are. That will be the case. That will be the moment that he really says, here I am. Did you manage?
I'm trying to get the CD player.
Well, until that Akin has the CD player, we can have silent prayer.
Thank you, Father.